cardio. Good cardio. Yeah. Hey, make some noise for Jesus real quick. Come on, he's awesome. Thank you, Lex. Super kind. If some of y'all missed it and you were headed back to your seat, Lex, I call her Lex, her name's Lexi. Lex was a student of ours back in Bloomington when I was youth pastoring. And Lex, one of the most fun things for me is to see just the beautiful young lady that God has shaped you into become. And way back then, I saw a gifting, and it's so evident even more so now. And so I just want to honor you, Lex. Steph and I, we love you so much. We're so proud of you. Can we give it up for Lexi? She's a student here. She's awesome. Also, in the nature of clapping, can we clap in honor for all the adults and parents in the room tonight? The true story is if your mom or dad hasn't cried yet, then they've cried in the bathroom by themselves that they're here with you right now. And low-key, none of us would be in a seat if mom and dad didn't decide to give birth and give us into the world. So can we give it up for mom and dad and say thank you to them? Thank you for real, parents. Lil, what up? I have two little kids back home. Everly Dawn, she's 7, and Malachi David, he's 5. And here's the deal. When my baby girl shows up to North Central to do preview day, I'm low-key going to be the sobbing dad in the back. You know the Michael Jordan meme where he can't stop crying? That's going to be me. Like, it really is. And I, like, unashamedly say my two kids will preview day North Central. God used this school in a really big way for my wife and I. How many of you have never... ever heard me speak before? Raise your hand. You've never heard me speak before. Raise your hand. You've never heard me before. You're like, who is this joker? Okay, bet. Nice to meet you. My name's Micah. Okay, nice to meet you. Good to see you way in the back. Here's the deal. You could be a lot of other places, and you're here tonight. And I really believe this is going to be a special night set aside for you. And last but not least, can we thank and give it up for the North Central faculty and staff, Pastor Joshua, Bethany, and ING leaders, student leaders, Kaylee, the team. Thank you guys for doing this. Tonight, I'm preaching a message that if the only one who hears it and the only one who does something with it is me, I'm totally okay with that. But the title of my message is very practical and applicable for my life right now. The title is this: God, where should I go? God, where should I go? Anybody ever asked that question before? God, where should I go? Every senior in the room is like, yeah, I'm asking it right now. I have no idea. And at my grad party in a little bit, everybody's going to ask me at the grad party, where you going? What you going to do? Low key, worst question at my grad party, where you going? What's next? Because I had to do it 150 times. I just wanted them to watch a YouTube short. Hey, play this. They'll tell you where I'm going. Just watch the screen. Because it gets long to tell everyone where I'm going, what I'm doing. But here's the deal. If you've never asked the question, God, where should I go? If you've never asked him that, at some point along the journey of your life, you are going to ask him this question: God, where should I go? And it's possible you're like my homeboy, Caleb Stanley, who's in the room somewhere, who knows he's coming to North Central. Caleb, raise your hand. That's my buddy right there, Caleb Stanley. He's coming here next year. At least I hope you are. I'm pretty sure you are, Caleb. But here's the deal. Some of y'all might be here tonight, and you're not as assured as him. And so this message is for every kid in the room or college kid who showed up, like my friend Lilo and Ashlyn who are here, where you have a season coming on you where you might be asking a question, God, where should I go? LL, what up? I'm seeing so many faces now. I'm sorry. I'm like the ADD preacher. I just see so many people here right now. This is amazing. Here's the deal. Last summer, I'm preaching him. If you're from this state, don't judge me that I call it this name. I was preaching in a state called Missouri, but I call it Misery. So if you're from there, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. If you're from there, I apologize. There's not much there. It's fun, good coffee scene, low-key, really good coffee scene in Springfield. That's not even a joke. I'm in Springfield. I'm preaching a camp. I get the worst phone call ever. It's my wife screaming on the phone. She's crying. And my wife says, "Micah, our little girl almost just died. Our little girl almost got hit by a car. Micah, I'm sorry, but we need to find a new home now." And immediately my question is, where should we go? My daughter was a foot away from a pickup truck that was going to slam into her. Didn't see her. It was my daughter's first time ever riding a bike. Never rode a bike before. We live off a crazy busy street. And my wife collapsed and thought she was going to watch our little girl die right before her very eyes. My next phone call was to a realtor. I said, "Hey, we're trying to move. Where should we go?" And we decided, mom and dad, my wife and I, we were going to invite our kids into this process to just ask God, where should we go? Because low-key, God don't just speak to adults. God speaks to little kids too. He loves speaking to little kids. So we say, "Kids, we're going to pray. We're going to ask God, where should we go?" And so my little boy's praying to Jesus, asking him where we should go, where we should we move. And we ask our kids one day, "Kids, has God spoken to you? Do you know where we're supposed to live? Where are we supposed to move to?" My little boy, I got a picture of him on the screen. This is Malachi. He's 5. There he is. And I go, has God spoken to anyone on where we're supposed to live? And my little boy throws his hand up in the air and goes, "Dad, yes. Yes, Dad, Jesus spoke to me." I go, "Son, great, confident, just like your mom. This is amazing. What is it, son? Where are we moving to? Buddy, what does God tell you?" He goes, "Dad, we're moving to Disney World, Dad." We're moving to Disney. What other 5-year-old kid's going to say, "Dad, God spoke to me. We're moving to Disney"? Every kid wants to move to Disney. This is not in my sermon notes, and this has nothing to do with my sermon. But something my little boy and I do every night, I'm going to let you into the Mac house for a little bit. Every night, like, I could go on Instagram Live just for NCU kids to show you I'm not lying. Okay, Lilo. Every single night, my son says this to me, "Dad, can we whisper to each other?" And it's just something him and I do. "Dad, can we whisper to each other?" And every single time, I walk over to my son's bed. Don't judge my boy for this. If you do, I will sit on you and preach the rest of my message, not from the stool, but on your lap. My little boy, he will grab my earlobe and just rub my earlobe at night. Like, that's just what he does. And there's parents who are looking at their little kids like, "She did that too. My little girl did that too." So he grabs my earlobe, and the other night he goes, "Dad." I said, "Yeah, bud." He goes, "Dad, can you take me to Disney, Dad?" And just whispers, I go, "You know what, bud, sure, we'll go to Disney. What do you want to do at Disney, son?" He goes, "Dad, I want to see Buzz." He wants to see Buzz Lightyear. And I go, "Okay, bud, why do you want to see Buzz? What do you want to do to Buzz?" He goes, "Dad, I want to shoot Buzz." He wants to put a cap in Buzz Lightyear. He wants to intentionally go see him, not to like hug him, to shoot him. I go, "Bud, why do you want to shoot Buzz?" And he whispers, he's rubbing my earlobe. He goes, "Dad, I like Bo Peep." He wants to shoot Buzz so he can get Bo Peep for himself. Homeboy wants to take out the competition so he can get Bo Peep for himself. No wonder he wants to go to Disney. No wonder that's where God told him we're supposed to move. Put a cap in Buzz. I think, if we're all really honest, whether we want to face it or not, there will always be a moment in every single one of our lives where we say, "God, where should I go? God, where should I go?" Low-key, my wife and I are asking that same question right now. God, where should I go? There are kids in the room where you have no idea where you should go. And you might visit 5 other colleges before you ever make a choice. You might go to all these different campuses. But I really hope what I'm about to say from God's word literally unlocks the answer to that very question. God, where should I go? So if this message is only for me tonight, that's okay, because I need to hear it. I think of this 2 verses that God gives us. And whenever you read the book of Proverbs, you cannot take them as promises, because they're actually more so principles than they are promises. You have to discern that. You have to know that. But here's a really good principle that will help you answer this question. God, where should I go? Ready for it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding of things, but in all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Well, I just wish you would have given me the answer, Michael. Well, I did. Trust God with all your heart. And in all your ways, acknowledge him. Don't lean on the cranky, low-caffeinated brain of yours and make understanding of things. But in all of your ways, just acknowledge him. He'll work it out for you. I just have a couple points, really nothing crazy, on answering this question. God, where should I go? Number one, if you're taking notes, is this, is God is most trustworthy. God is most trustworthy. God is telling us to trust him. Now, here's the deal. If I don't know you, I'm not going to necessarily trust you. Because in order for me to trust you, I have to understand who you are. I have to know your character. Because your character tells me a lot about if I can actually fully put my trust in you. And here's the deal. Know what's crazy? Is you and I have no problem giving our trust to things that don't return anything to our life. You and I have no problem putting trust in people, in certain places, in certain situations, knowing full well it will return absolutely nothing to us. But when the creator of the world is saying, trust me, bet I want to trust the one who's the most trustworthy. And in order to understand what it means to trust God, you have to have an assurance of who his character is. And who his character is runs deep throughout the Bible. God doesn't just show his character. There are names for his character. God is provider. God is defender. God is healer. God is protector. God is redeemer. God is restorer. God is a shelter. God is a strong tower. God is a refuge. God is a safe place. God is a dwelling place. God delivers, sets free. God anoints. God chooses. God equips. All these different things on who the character of God is. And if there's anyone that I'm going to put my trust in, I'm going to put my trust in the one who is most trustworthy. So God, where should I go? Just start by putting your trust in the one who said, trust me with all of your heart. Because the one who knows when you wake up in the morning, the one who knows when you put your head on your pillow, the one who knows your very name, the one who knows the number of hairs on your head, the one who knows you better than your mama who birthed you, the one who knows every lie that you've told, the one who knows every sin yet still wants you, the one who knows every intricate detail of your life yet still calls you daughter. Yeah, that's the one that's worth trusting my whole life with. That's the one who's most trustworthy. You want to know how God is trustworthy? Is he is faithful to answer you when you ask him. He just says, ask. Ask me. You want to know where you should go? Ask him. Because know what you can trust? You can trust he speaks to those who ask. Ask him. Not only do you need to just ask him, but you can trust the still, small voice. Because you know what follows the still, small voice when he speaks? What always follows is his assurance and his peace. Because the Bible says the one we trust is a good shepherd, and he's really good at preparing you a table in the middle of a valley and saying, come rest with me. So when he speaks, it's going to match his character, which is humble and gentle. So the answer he gives you is going to be one that's rooted and marked in peace. 7 years ago, my wife and I left youth pastoring to travel full-time as an evangelist. And there were 6 churches who said, come be our staff evangelist. There was one church we preached at. When we left, we preached 3 services on a Sunday. When we left, they said, we are going to give you a full salary. We're going to give you all the health benefits that your family needs. And we are going to give you and let you keep every single honorarium that you get from traveling and preaching. I'm talking the full spread, the bougiest of the bougiest life. And my family's taken care of. We get in our van. My wife and I drive home. And we both look at each other and we say, this isn't it. Because God's peace isn't in this. This isn't the place. God, where should we go? You know where my wife and I felt the most peace? Is a church of 60 people. That just went through a really bad moral failure with the lead pastor. It was a church of 1,000, went down to 60 people. Where does my wife and I end up to start a traveling ministry out of ruins with a church of 60 people? And when people looked at us and said, why are you going there? What are you doing? No, we said, God's peace is in our heart. And this is what we sense on where we're supposed to go. Because you can trust God because he's the most trustworthy. He's the most trustworthy. And then number 2, don't lean on your own understanding. How many of y'all know, like, we can straight up act a fool sometimes? Like, for real? Like, we don't get our normal caffeine intake and we turn into Godzilla and we start destroying people with our words in our life and we spill coffee everywhere 3 times a day and post to our Insta story about it and all these different things and we just let the whole world know. Low key, how many of y'all know our own understanding is sometimes straight whacked? I have a rule that I've learned about me, and it's this. I am not allowed to make any major decision a day or even 2 days after I get done traveling and preaching somewhere. You want to know why? Because my brain is a straight whack, and I am recovering from the adrenaline dump that happened 2 days prior. So here's the deal. Our own understanding, Jesus says this. Know what's the most deceitful thing about everyone in the room? Their heart. It deceives people. It leads you into wrong places. Deception comes from the heart. Lying comes from the heart. Theft comes from the heart. Murder comes from the heart. Lust comes from the heart. Our heart is wicked above all. So what do we need? Not to lean on our own understanding because it is straight up whack sometimes. But know what we need? Is we need to trust God that he's going to speak in a still small voice, that he's going to give you a peace. And then please don't miss this. God will also speak through others in your life. I met this young missionary couple. They were heroes to me. They just got married. They went to Belize. And I felt like God was telling me, sell everything. Do what the Bible says. Sell everything. Give it to the poor. Go on the mission field. Go overseas. Go join them. I'm like, yes. I'm going to change the world. Belize going to get changed for Jesus. I got all the passion in the world. I was excited. This is going to be amazing. I get to live on the beach. I'm in Belize. I'm going to get virgin pina coladas. It's going to be amazing. I'm feeling Gucci and good. Oh, yeah. Ow! I'm feeling good. And here's what I didn't do. I purposely didn't tell my mom because I was afraid of what she was going to say. I go to my mom finally after I put my 2 weeks into my job to leave everything. My mom looks at me and she says, "You better not quit your job." And I'm like, I knew God would bring the devil. A devil would show up somewhere in my life. It's my mom. I never thought the devil was my mom. See, I'm trying to obey God. I'm trying to go where he wants me to go. And my mom's the devil. Devil mom. Why? And I'm ticked. I like fume. My face turns red. I walk down the stairs. I go to my bedroom. And I take my fist, start slamming my fist in my bed. I'm upset. I'm trying to obey Jesus. I'm trying to be a world changer. God's going to use me to change Belize. Some white suburban Minnesota kid going to change Belize. Here we go, Jesus. All in for you. My mom is the devil. And then, I kid you not, I open up my Bible randomly. You know, like when you're desperate, you just flip it and like put your finger somewhere like, oh, speak to me, Lord, now. Right now would be good, God. You like ever done that? You're in your dorm room, you just flip it open real quick. Here. Okay, please, God, speak. Oh, yes, I should marry her. Okay, thank you, Jesus. Like, you know what I'm saying? You look for any intuition, insight you can get. And I kid you not, though, I open up to 1 Peter, and one of the first statements I read is, honor your elders. As this guy was saying, you think your mom's the devil? I'm actually using your mom to get to you. Which leads me to my third and final point, which is this. God will always make your path straight. When you trust him, when you try not to lean on your own understanding, know what he's really good at? Making it straight. And know where we can lose ourselves sometimes? Overanalyzing, getting caught up in the drama, getting caught up in the gossip, getting caught up in a place. And know what God's called us to the whole time? Just trust me. Stop trying to play God and use your own intellect to figure out what I have for you. Why don't you just let me be God and lead you in the way I have for you? Because I'm better at making straight paths than you are trying to figure out your own paths. So let me orchestrate it. Let me do it. And then your job is just to walk through it. He'll always make it straight. God, where should I go? God used my mom to humble me. You know what I found out about that missionary couple? They only made it 6 months, nearly got a divorce, and came back. Guess who would have been caught in the middle of that drama? Me. You know what happened after I listened to my mom when she said, you better not quit your job, don't you dare? 2 weeks later, I get a phone call from the lead pastor, my lead pastor at my church. He says, I want to have a meeting with you. I'm like, dear Lord, I've never met with this guy in my life. He probably knows the sin I did last week. I bet my mom told him my sins. I'm going to get yelled at by a pastor I've never met with. I went to a big church, never met with me in my life. I'll never forget the meeting. He sits me down. I'm on this big leather couch. And he says, Micah, we've been watching you. I'm like, here they come. He's going to list the sins. Here they come, one by one. Everything I've done wrong, they're probably tracking me. So he just says, Micah, we see a call of God in your life. And I talked to the board of our church. We want to pay for all of your education. Name any school in the country you want to go to, and our board is going to pay for every dime of it. What you don't know is I come from a single mom home. I don't have any money. My dad walked out of my family after 17 years of marriage. I became the man of the house at a young age. I watched a single mom work multiple jobs trying to make it for 4 kids. And here's a pastor who says, our church talked and we want to cover. He said, where do you want to go to school? I was at a loss for words. I didn't know what to say. I just blurted out. I said, North Central. He goes, bet, get signed up. Actually, he didn't. He's 60 years old, so he didn't say bet. He's like, sure, you betcha. Get signed up. Probably something like that. So this was in August. I got registered in August. I was at North Central at the end of August. And remember when God said, trust me with all of your heart? Stop trying to figure out in your own strength. Just trust me and I'll make the path straight. Yeah, I've seen him do that over and over and over again. So while I come to preach to you tonight, a sermon titled, Where Should I Go? Where should I go? I'm still asking that question right now. Where should we go? But this time, it's different. Because I've watched him make straight path after straight path after straight path after straight path. And once you watch that over and over and over, you begin to understand he's really good at making straight paths if I just keep trusting him and trusting him and trusting him. I am so excited about what God is doing and is going to do on this campus. I'm very excited. So excited. I have kids that I've poured into, discipled, that are coming here this fall. And I can't think of a better place for kids to be in an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit is here meeting kids, saying, trust me, trust me, trust me. You're in the right spot. I will not be the voice of God for you and say, you need to come here. I low-key want to. I'm not going to do that. That would be misappropriation. But know what you need to understand? You need to understand that no matter the decision, no matter what you think is right, at the end of the day, you need to trust God because he's really good at getting you where you're supposed to go. I thought Belize was it. God's like, nope, you're not me. You're going to North Central. Isn't it funny how we think we know the way, but God always gets the final way? Maybe the question to God isn't, where should I go, God? Maybe the question is, God, can you help me trust you more? God, can you help me trust you a little more? Would you help me trust deeper into who you are and your character? Because you're the most trustworthy. Jesus, I thank you for every college kid in the room. I thank you for every prospect, every high school kid, every mom, every dad who drove hours. Thank you for the youth pastors like my friend Kellen who's here. The youth pastors who just love kids. I just want to drive and make a way for kids to hear from you. God, you are really faithful. You are so good. God, thank you for making a way for kids to come. God, I pray that when they do sense your still small voice, that when they do sense your peace, that you'd give them the boldness and the courage to come, wherever that is, wherever you're calling them. God, I pray they'd watch your character show up time and time and time again. God, thank you for the sweet sense of your presence that is here. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that says you lead us into all truth. You guide us. You're a counselor. You're an advocate. You're a friend. Thank you for who you are in our life. Help us to trust you and not lean on our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge you because we know you will make our path straight.